Amen. Thank you. Jesus is right. Amen. Happy birthday, America, and God bless America. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we just we welcome you as always, Lord. We say, come, Holy Spirit, join us in this place this morning. And Lord, as we study about temptation today, Father, we thank you that you sent your Son as the, not only as a sacrifice, but as the example for us to follow, Father, being led by the Holy Spirit and being guided by your will, Father, even in our lives, Lord, that we may use your word, the sword of the Spirit, to refute and rebuke the devil when he comes telling his lies, Father God, and tempting us in our weakest points. Father, we ask that you bless this day, bless this sermon, and that you open our hearts and our minds to receive your word and to receive your power and to receive your peace in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so my sermon title today is Tempted by the Devil. Tempted by the Devil. Happy sermon title for the 4th of July, huh? But no fluff around here. Tempted by the Devil. Today's sermon is going to focus, obviously, on temptation. Amen? We're going to focus on temptation and how to deal with it, because a lot of us don't really understand why temptation comes when it does. But Satan does. Satan understands it because it is the opportune time for him to attack us. It is the opportune time for him, and that's he studies it and he plans it. Amen? Now, how many of us from time to time have the most evil and unusual thoughts come across our minds? Amen? Think about all of us, right? Amen. Doesn't it bother you that sometimes, even in the middle of your prayers or in the middle of a church service, those same things will come across your mind? Amen? And we start to think, was it something I ate? Or, you know, what's going on? You know, what could cause these thoughts to come into my mind? Well, don't worry. It's a common experience for all believers. It's a common experience. Satan will try anything, anytime, and he will succeed if we don't stay alert and of sober mind. Amen? If we don't stay alert and of sober mind, like it says in 1 Peter 5:8, he will tempt us on our holiest of days. On the holiest of days, but it's up to us to choose the right path. Amen? Amen. Amen? I got a little story for you about choosing the right path, okay? There's a ship captain. There he is. This is a story about a ship captain who had a route that ran from California to Colombia. And one day, as he was preparing to leave, he was approached by some drug dealers who offered him $50,000 to allow a small shipment of drugs onto his ship. They offered him $50,000. And he immediately told these drug dealers, he said, no, I'm not going to do it. On his next three trips that he took, they raised the offer. Each time the dealers would come to him and say, you know, they'd raise it up. So the second time it was $100,000. And then finally, the third time, it reached $150,000. They offered him $150,000. And he hesitated. And he told the drug dealers, he said, you know what, maybe I will. Maybe I will. And as soon as he was alone again, he called the FBI. And he set up a sting operation for these guys, right? And when the drug dealers came, they successfully arrested them. And they arrested the drug dealers. Amen? So after all this happened, one of the agents asked the captain, because he had told them about, you know, this was the third time they came, right? So one of the agents asked the captain, he said, why did you wait until they offered you $150,000 before contacting us? And the captain's reply was, they were getting close to my price. They were getting close to my price. He was feeling his weakness coming on, right? He didn't want to give in, so he did the right thing. He chose the right path. Amen? So when it comes to temptations of sin, I believe in our own nature, in our sin nature, we all have a price. Amen? We all have a price that they will reach. And when we trust in the flesh rather than in Jesus Christ, we will all give in to the temptations of the devil. And don't think just because we're led by the Spirit that we will not be tempted by the devil. Even Jesus was tempted by the devil. Amen. The devil will attack us whether we're led by the Spirit or not, especially if we're led by the Spirit. We'll get to that. So in our first verses, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. So don't think just because we're Christians, I mean, even Jesus was tempted, right? That we will not be tempted. The first two verses are a perfect example of that. So the Holy Spirit had just descended upon Jesus, amen, at his baptism. And God would say of him, you are my son, whom I love, and with whom I am well pleased, right? So they all thought that Jesus was going to start performing miracles right away, that he was going to rule with a golden scepter, right? His time had come. He was ready to rule. But this would not be the case. Jesus would be led into the wilderness by the Spirit, and he would be tempted for 40 days. Or as some versions put it, he would be tempted for a season. So what's the lesson in all this? The lesson is that just like Jesus, every time God gives us a blessing, the devil wants to take it away. Every time God gives us a blessing, even Jesus, the devil wants to take it away. That's how he works. That's how he works. He doesn't want to see any of us prosper, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that here shortly. He doesn't want to see any of us prosper. Amen? But I just want us to be aware of Satan's tactics. That's what today's sermon is about, that we are aware of Satan's tactics. And some examples of Satan's attacks in the Bible are, I got some examples for you, okay, of the same thing, of what I'm talking about, of an attack after a blessing. The first one and the most famous one, the Garden of Eden. Amen? The Garden of Eden. When God created humanity, he made them according to his image and according to his likeness. Adam and Eve were created perfect, and they were placed in the perfect environment. Yet Satan tempted them to sin by saying, you surely won't die, right? You surely won't die. And they gave in to the temptation. So Adam and Eve went from blessed to tempted, and they gave in. The second example is the story of Job. Job was a wealthy and very blessed man who lived in the land of Uz, amen, with his large family and extensive flocks. He was blameless and upright, and he was always careful to avoid doing evil in the eyes of God. He was always careful. He did everything right. But one day, Satan appears before God and in heaven, and God begins to boast about Job to him, right? Saying, look at my servant, how good he is. Amen? How faithful he is. And while Satan argues that Job is only good because of all the things he's been blessed with, right? He's got these thousands of flocks, and he's got more property than anybody, right? He's one of the richest men in the world. And Satan says he's only faithful because of everything you've blessed him with. And then the attacks begin, right? Amen? God allows him, and the attacks begin. So he went from blessed to tempted, but Job stayed faithful. In this instance, Job, the person, stayed faithful. And the third example is the transfiguration. When the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, witnessed it, they were like, wow, can you believe this? Right? How blessed are we? It doesn't get any better than this, to witness this transfiguration. So they were walking on cloud nine, so to speak. Amen? They were walking on cloud nine. They're coming down the mountain, and bam, Satan attacks them, right? Satan attacks them through a demon-possessed boy who challenged the authority of the disciples. He challenged their authority, but they could not cast out the demon, and they were dejected. They were dejected over what Satan had done. So here's the pattern. This is the pattern of Satan's attacks, amen? God gives a blessing to us, and Satan tries to take it away. That's what Satan does. And so when you're in the will of God, expect an attack by the enemy. If we're in the will of God, as history and the Bible shows, the devil will attack. Charles Spurgeon had the following cautions regarding our adversary, the devil. He wrote that he will attack you sometimes by fraud, by might, or by slight. He will seek to overcome you, and no unarmed man can stand against him. Never go out without all your armor on, for you can never tell where you might meet the devil. He is not omnipresent, but nobody can tell where he is or where he isn't, for he and his troops of devils appear to be everywhere found on this earth. There's a song called In Christ Alone, which I'm sure most of you know, amen? And part of the lyrics say, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Where do we get this power of Christ? Amen? Where do we get this power of Christ? We get it from the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit, we get it by praying, much prayer, and we get it from God's Word. God's Word gives us the power of Christ. Proverbs 30:35 says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Ephesians 6:17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Matthew 22:29 says, but Jesus answered them, you are wrong because you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God. And Psalms 107:20, He sent out His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. God's Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And even Jesus would use it to refute the devil. So let's talk about the first temptation. Verse 3 says that the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. We all know them verses. Amen? So Satan is tempting Jesus by telling him to turn stones into loaves of bread. And we're told that the stones in this area sort of look like loaves of bread. Amen? They had this shape about them that they kind of look like loaves of bread. So I guess they gave Satan the idea, you know, turn these stones to loaves of bread. But the question is, why did Satan use this temptation at this time? Why would he use that? Because he was hungry, right? Jesus was hungry. He was hungry. And it wasn't right after Jesus left a banquet or had a big meal, right? He was in the middle of a 40-day fast, right? And he was starving. And the devil knew that, and he was using his weakness. Verse 2 says that he ate nothing during those days. He was fasting. He was hungry, and he needed to eat. Has anyone here ever fasted? Have you guys ever fasted for a week, maybe? 40 days? No? Me neither. I've done it for a couple days, but not anything like that. I'm sure after 40 days of fasting, any of us would have been easily tempted, right, by some nourishment or some type of food, right? So it was a time of intense hunger or weakness that Satan came and tempted Jesus by saying, turn these rocks into bread. But basically what he's telling him is use your deity to satisfy yourself. Don't wait on God's will. Don't wait on God's time. Don't wait on the angels. Use your deity to satisfy yourself right now. And so Satan always attacks us in an area where we are weak. He knows when to come at us when we're weak. And because he does his homework. He knows when to attack. He is not going to waste his time. Satan is not going to waste his time because he's not God. He is limited. He has limited resources just like we do. Amen? He has limited resources, and he's not going to waste his time tempting us with things that we won't fall for. He's going to do his homework and make sure it's something that we're going to fall for, or at least something he thinks we're going to fall for, so that he doesn't waste his time. Amen? And this is exactly what he's doing with Jesus. He's saying, you don't need to trust God for your next meal. By your own power, why don't you just create your own meal? You don't need to wait on God. He's saying, why wait on God? Surely you won't starve, right? Surely you won't starve if you turn this rock into bread. Satan wants every one of us, all of us, to act apart from God's provision. That's what he wants. Act apart from God's provision, and the way he does that is he waits patiently for our weakest moment, and then he tempts us. When he knows that we're weak, that's when he comes and attacks us and tempts us. And one of the verses that describes that, one of my favorite ones since getting into recovery, was 1 Peter 5:8, to be alert and of sober mind, because the enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour. Right? He's just waiting for someone to devour. And devour he will. At our weakest moments, the devil will attack us. But you see, Jesus came to live as we live, not as a God. He came to live as we live. Jesus came trusting in the Lord with all of his heart and waiting on God's provision. But Satan wants us all to act apart from God's provision. Satan knows the flesh is weak, but he misjudged the flesh of our Savior. Amen? He knows the flesh is weak, but he misjudged our Savior. And then Jesus would say to him, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. What an amazing answer, right? Out of Scripture once again, right? This is a great response out of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. So Jesus takes the focus off of his hunger, and he says to Satan that my greatest need is not my hunger, it's my relationship with the Father. That's my greatest need, not my hunger. And abiding in his words is what I'm going to do. So he got it from Deuteronomy 8:3, which says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Amen? Jesus knew his Bible. And that is exactly what Jesus was telling Satan. He was saying to him that the greatest need in my life is to follow God's word. The greatest need is to follow God's word. And that should be our greatest need as well, right? First and foremost, put God first, following God's word. And the way we do that is by staying in God's word daily. Staying in God's word. When Satan comes along and tempts us with our weaknesses, we should be able to rebuke him with God's word, just as Jesus did. Just like Jesus did. The second temptation, verse 5 says, the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Remember, Satan is a liar. Amen? This statement by Satan is to question God's promises. He's trying to question God's promises. He wants Jesus to question God's promises. The Bible says that one day Jesus will come again and rule the whole world. We trust in God's promises. That promise is in the Psalms. Psalms 2, 7, and 8 says, I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. Psalms 22, 27 says that all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. And finally, Psalms 86, 9 says, all the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. He will rule the nations. Jesus was going to rule the nations. But first, he must redeem it through the cross. First, he had to redeem it through the cross. So Satan is telling him, why do it the hard way? Right? Why do it the painful way? He said, just worship me and we got a deal. It can be all yours right now. I can give you all the nations if you will only worship me. Everybody remembers why Satan got kicked out of heaven, right? Remember why Satan got kicked out of heaven? Because he wanted to be God, right? He wanted to take over. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be the patron, right? The boss. Well, Satan still did. And here he's saying, I own everything. I own all this. And it's mine to give. If you just worship me. Worship me as your God. And I will give it all to you. But Jesus wasn't giving in, right? Jesus was standing his ground. Jesus was standing his ground. So, you know, why are we as children of God also waiting on the promises of God? Because we know the truth, right? We know the truth. That's why we stand on his promises. We know the truth, and the truth has set us free. We know who loves us, and we know who hates us. And Jesus knew too. But we have not always been followers of Christ. In fact, some of us have lived many years trying to create our own heaven on earth and without the promises of God. And a lot of us have paid a heavy cost because of it. In fact, some of us, or some of those we knew and loved, died in their sins. Some of those we knew and loved have died in their sins, believing the lies of the devil and never knowing the Lord. And I pray for them. Amen. But those of us who have a strong relationship with Christ, today we can rebuke the devil when he comes telling his lies, and we can wait patiently on the promises of God. Patiently. God's timing. Amen. What would Jesus do? What did Jesus do? What should we all do? We should all stand on the promises of God. Then in verse 8, Jesus answers, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. That was his response. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And that's from Deuteronomy 6:13. Which was a warning chapter. Deuteronomy 6:13, fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. That was a warning chapter to the Israelites that were going into the promised land. Amen? It was warning, Moses was warning the Israelites going into the promised land. And it's now a warning to the devil. Jesus is making this a warning to the devil. To worship the Lord your God only. Amen? So in verse 9, the devil led him to Jerusalem. Temptation number 3. He led him to Jerusalem. And he had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Now, this highest point of the temple was said to be the southeast corner. And that's it right here, okay? The southeast corner of the temple. That would have been the highest point of the temple. And below this temple, down here, would have been the Kidron Valley that I talked about before, where Jesus walked through on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen? So the Kidron Valley's down here, and Jesus, the devil's got Jesus up here. Amen? So it's about 450 feet from the top of the temple here all the way down to the Kidron Valley. They say it would have been about 450 feet. So this would have been a spectacular event for Jesus to be saved by angels after jumping off that high point. Amen? And this would have been all over the news, right? If it had happened today, it would have been all over the news. But the fake news probably would have called it, that said that Jesus ziplined down or had a parachute or something, right? Amen? But because Satan, the reason for this is Satan wanted to make a show out of this. He wanted everyone to see if he was going to convince Jesus to literally fall for his tricks, he wanted to make a show out of it. Amen? And he wanted to make the nightly news. Then Satan would start to get desperate, and he would start to quote Scripture himself. He would start to quote Scripture himself, and he would say in the next verses, he'd say, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. Meaning that if you jump off of this high point, the angels will save you. Amen? That's what he's saying. Then in verse 11 he says, they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. They will save you if you jump off. Jump off. They'll save you. This was from Psalm 91. Amen? When Moses was speaking to the people of Israel during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. But of course, Satan takes it out of context. Satan takes these verses out of context just like most unbelievers do today. They take words out of the Bible and twist them for their own advantage. Amen? And so what Moses was really saying is that if we stay near to God, when he was talking to the Israelites, he's saying, if you stay near to God and follow his will, you will be less likely to suffer the consequences of sin and evil. That's what the original message was. Now think about this. When Satan says, for it is written, it reminds us that Satan is a Bible expert. Satan is a Bible expert, and he knows how to twist the Bible passages out of their context. Some suggest that Satan is such a Bible expert because he spent centuries looking for loopholes. He spent centuries looking for loopholes. And remember, he probably attended one of the greatest Bible colleges of all time, right? With the angels in heaven, right? Amen? So he knew God's word. He knew God's word, and he knew how to twist it. But Jesus knew God's word as well. And he would answer him and say, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. I think after this was said to him, Satan finally figured that Jesus wasn't going to fall for it. Amen? I think he finally got the picture. But this answer from Deuteronomy 6:16 is where he got it from. That speaks to us as well. Amen? How many of us, in how many ways, have put the Lord God to the test in our everyday lives? How many of us put God to the test? Amen? Some examples of that are putting God to the test, okay? And I'm not saying this of all of us, but maybe some of us. Amen? When we drive our cars like maniacs down the road sometimes, and then we pray to God to, Lord, keep us safe on the road before we get in the car, right? And then we're out there doing 65 and a 40, and right? And then we pray also, oh, Lord, please don't let me get a speeding ticket. Amen? Protect me and don't let me get a speeding ticket. Or for some of us, we'll walk into a bar and pray, God, please don't let me drink this time. Right? Please don't let me drink this time. Or some of us, we'll watch shows with nudity and pray, Lord, please don't let me give in to my lust. Amen? And lastly, and I got this one because I've lived this one myself, and I've seen it destroy a lot of people's lives that are in recovery. Amen? And this is, we hang out with old friends that are still doing the same things as we're in recovery. Thinking that we're strong enough, right? We're just trying to help them. We just want to help them. But we're putting ourselves in that situation. That's putting the Lord God to the test. That's putting God to the test. And so stay away from sin. Don't purposely test the Lord your God. Don't put yourself in those situations. And if we do get tempted, what are two ways that Jesus dealt with temptation? What are two of the ways, now that we've heard this, did Jesus deal with the temptation? Well, I'll tell you, the first thing he did, which is kind of a conglomerate of everything, is he stood his ground. Jesus stood his ground. He didn't run away. So don't run away. Stand up to Satan. Resist the devil. When we are strong in our faith and strong in God's word, we can stand our ground against Satan. That's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to run. He wants us to stand our ground in his will, in his word, with the sword of the Spirit. Number two, study your Bible. Study your Bible, the sword of the Spirit, right? Sharper than any two-edged sword. Study your Bible, know your scriptures, attend Bible studies, take notes, read your daily devotionals. That's why we're here every Sunday. That's why we're here every Wednesday and Tuesday and even sometimes on Saturday. Amen? So that we can all learn God's word, and when the devil comes, we can resist him with it. We can resist him through the power of God's word. Psalms 119:11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hold God's word in your heart. God's word gives us hope, it gives us power, and it gives us peace. And when Jesus spoke it, Satan gave up. Satan gave up. Verse 13 says that when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left Jesus until an opportune time. He left him till an opportune time. And that's exactly what he does with us. It's exactly what he does. He waits for the opportune time to attack us at our weakest moments. So keep God's word in your heart and on your mind. And when the devil comes along, you'll be able to rebuke him and resist the temptations of this world. Just like our Lord and Savior did over 2,000 years ago. Through God's word. So four of the lessons we learned about temptation today. Number one is none of us are exempt from the temptations. Amen? None of us. Doesn't matter where we're at, what we worship, or what we're doing, we will all be tempted by the devil. It's God's word that keeps us safe. Number two, rebuke him by responding with God's word. That's our best defense, God's word. Number three, resist in the power of the Spirit. Jesus was acting in the power of the Spirit and in the will of God. And that's what we must do too. Resist in the power of the Spirit. And number four, pursue the will of God. Pursue the will of God in everything we do. Always pray for the will of God and pursue the will of God. Amen? Amen. God's peace be with you all. And, you know, God's word is our greatest defense against temptation. Amen? Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this mighty word and this awesome sermon today, Father God, this message that you give us, Lord, through your word. And we thank you that when the devil comes tempting us and attacking us, Father God, that we have your word to protect us. We have your word to strengthen us. We have your word to cover us with the blood of Jesus Christ, to cover us in all we do, Father, that the devil may never be able to tempt us. That when we stay in your word, we may have peace in our lives, eternal lives. We thank you, Father, on this day. We ask that you continue to bless us and our families and bless all those struggling and protect us and watch over us on this holiday weekend as well, Lord. Keep us safe from the evil one. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.